All right, brethren, if you will, let's open to Romans chapter 9. We look at Joseph and his brethren. They meant evil to Joseph. And they went on in that evil for a season. They continued for a while, but not until they died. They were brought back. The prodigal son left. He said, "You give me what part's mine. Oh, I got enough to make it for a lifetime now. I'm going to head out on my own. I'm going to be fine." And he left. But before he died, went broke, didn't he? Had to come home. He had to come home. There have been many brethren, and I'm telling you this from experience. I got enough wealth in me. I can make it on my own. I've got tapes, or I've got recordings, or I've got books I can read. I can make it on my own. I'm going to go out in the world and do what I want to do. Pray the Lord keeps them brethren. Before they die, He brings them back to Himself. And if they're His, they will be brought home. The title of the message tonight is Salvation Declared and Fulfilled. That's why they have to be brought home. The Lord said, "I'm going to save my people. I ain't going to lose a one of them." And that has to be fulfilled. Always has been, always will be. He's going to fulfill His salvation and His people. Though this written letter to the Church of Rome that Paul wrote, this book of Romans, it's a written letter. But let's not forget that Paul is preaching to them. He's preaching to you, and he's preaching to me. This book of Romans is an evangelical message. It's an experiential message, and it's an instructive message. What those things mean? That's the kind of preaching. That means it calls out God's people that never heard Him. It comforts those that know Him, and it instructs those that know Him. You can't preach the gospel unless all three of those happen. If you preach the gospel, all three of those will happen. But our text tonight is so easy to just skim over. I've always been prone to read something like this, and I say to myself, "Oh, I get the gist of that. I know what that means," and just go on to the next thing, right? What a sin against God. Oh, I pray, keep me from that. Let's read our, this will be our text tonight. Romans 9, verse 25. "And He saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." We have a great privilege tonight. We have a great privilege in having these scriptures for us, preserved for us. Chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 tells us of the privilege that physical Israel had. The Lord was constantly declared in picture and in type in gospel messages from His prophets to those people, and in His presence being with them. Most turned away. Most refused Him. But it was not a waste. The Lord did not fail in doing this and allowing this to happen. He said there in verse 6, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." They're not all Israel which are not are of Israel. What's He talking about? You think He'll go on and explain this to us? Of course He will, won't He? Paul goes on to tell us that the children of the promise, not the children of the flesh, the children of the promise are those that are counted for the seed. He is a spiritual Israel, spiritual nation. And from verses 9 through 15, we read about the electing love of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How God the Father chose a people, not a fleshly nation, but a spiritual nation, in Christ before the world was. And He did this for His glory and for our benefit. It was the reason that we can say, so we can say, "Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Everything was taken out of our hands. There in verse 16 it says, "So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's where our mercy comes from. Verses 17 through 21, we're given a great picture of our condition in front of the Almighty God. The potter and the clay. We are the clay. He is the potter. We're molded lumps of red earth, just like our father Adam. And Christ is the potter. The Most High God does with us as He sees fit. He makes vessels of honor and He makes vessels of dishonor. Who are we to question Him? We're just clay. And in verse 22, Paul begins to pose a question to you and me. He says, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory? The Lord is willing to show His wrath. His wrath will be shown because He is just, and justice must be performed. But the apostle here is asking, I ask you, I ask me, ask myself, what if the Lord of heaven and earth is holding off on this deserved wrath just to make His riches known to His vessels of honor? All this wickedness around us, this foolishness that's around us. Well, we didn't come down and crush it yet. Why? He has vessels of honor in this world that He's going to show His riches to. Those prepared before unto glory, those He chose before time began, He's going to preserve all this just to reveal Christ in them, just to save them. Imagine that. God preserving a whole world that hates Him just to let His child know the riches of His glory and mercy towards them, towards an undeserving people. That's too good to be true. That's amazing. If I were just presenting an intellectual idea to you, that's pretty complicated. That's immense, isn't it? He will save His people. But Paul continues. His question isn't over. He said, even us, there in verse 24, even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. All of this salvation completed, all of this earth preserved, though it deserves total divine wrath. Everything is sustained because Christ died for a people, and none will be lost. All of them will come to know Christ, and they will worship Him now and forever. They will be brought to His feet to worship Him. And it ends there, verse 24, and but of the also of the Gentiles, ? That's what completes the question. So I kind of hung on that for a little bit. All of this world being sustained for the Lord to reveal Christ and His people to the elect in that physical nation Israel, those that He had before, but also of the Gentiles. Now, as far as I know, I preach mostly to Gentiles. I think mostly would be a safe bet. We don't have that privilege of the physical nation that Israel had that we saw at the beginning of the chapter. We're not physically set apart. We had miracles performed so often around us. Had the tabernacle that was literally inside and out a picture, everything in it, a picture of Christ. A picture of salvation by God. We didn't have these feasts and all these ceremonies that just told the story over and over, salvations of the Lord. We made our own traditions, made our own customs, made our own idols, our own religion and pictures without any knowledge. We try to keep a law that ain't even a law that's given to us. Making up our own laws and customs, all the while we're still sons of Adam. Why me? Why would God reveal the riches of His mercy, His grace and glory to a poor, self-serving Gentile dog like me? Why would He preserve this world But this world keeps spinning, hating him out loud to me, for me. Why me? The natural heart of a man hears God's salvation. He hears what all these scriptures declare. And he says, why not me? That's an old man. Why not me? The child of God who's been humbled, who's been given a contrite heart. They are enabled to ask, why me? Are you ever humbled and brought low to see a fraction of the evil that we truly are? And do you ask, why would God save me? Here comes comfort. Moved by God, the Holy Spirit, to write this, our brother Paul continues to preach a gospel message to us. He's comparing Scripture with Scripture for the rest of this passage, but we're only going to look at one of them. They didn't have the New Testament then to preach out of. He was writing it. That's what he was writing. But they still looked at the Scriptures. It says in verse 25, Romans 9:25, and he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. That is salvation declared. I'm going to save a people. They're not beloved. They're going to be my beloved. Now here is salvation fulfilled. Verse 26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. This is precious. Where sin is declared and wrath and justice are delivered. In that place, the place where it said, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We'll get to this in a minute. This is beautiful. I pray the Lord will show this to His people tonight. Let us rejoice in this. Who's Osi? I come across a name sometimes. I don't know exactly who it is. So I'll catch what I can and I keep going, right? Osi is Hosea. Lord willing, next week we'll see what Paul brings out there and just a couple verses down out of Isaiah. But for this evening, let's turn to Hosea chapter 1 and read where Paul got this text. Just a few books to the right of Psalms and Proverbs. You got Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea. If you've ever read Hosea, you remember that from just one end to another, it's just a declaration of the love of God towards His people, towards an undeserving people. What a picture it is. But Hosea means, the name means deliverer. That's the same name as Joshua. Same name as Jesus. And in this book, Hosea is a picture of Christ, and Gomer is a picture of those that Christ saved, of His children. Now let's keep that in mind. Stay with me this evening. Hosea is a picture of Christ. Gomer is His people. Now Hosea 1, we'll begin in verse 2. Hosea 1, 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. The Lord said to Hosea, you go take a wife of whoredoms. You go marry a sinful, undeserving, rebelling bride in a cursed land that cannot do anything to save herself. One who is completely in sin and completely unable to save themselves, and you go make her complete. You go make her whole. Before man walked this earth, the Lord said to Christ, you go take a wife of whoredoms. Completely undeserving and unable. And you make her complete. You make her whole. In your body and in your blood. From your person and your work. You make her whole. Restore her. Now verse 3. So he went. And took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. God gave Hosea instruction, and it says, so he went. and he took Gomer. And her name, Gomer translated, means completion. She was found to be completely in sin, completely unable. But Hosea will make her complete, make her whole in his ability and in his love. After he married Gomer, that union produced life. She bore Hosea a son. Hosea loved Gomer. He provided for her. He put life in her, and they had two sons and a daughter. He gave a good, happy home for her. And what did she do in return? How did she honor such a loving husband? Such already brought her out the dung heap once, didn't he? She returned to her old ways and to her old husband. Now remember, Hosea is Christ. Gomer's me. Gomer's his children. Look in verse 2. I'm sorry, Hosea 2, 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. It says, plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. He is saying that Gomer ain't going to stop doing what she's doing. She's returned to the way she was. She's not acting like a wife. She doesn't respect me as her husband. She doesn't acknowledge that we're married. And she ain't going to stop going after her desires and her flesh and will not be faithful to me alone. And it says, plead. Pray for. Because going down this road is going to end in death. Can I cut to the bone and apply it to us? You hear this gospel of a loving, wonderful husband puts life in you and you run from it. If you keep going down that road and you abandon him and you don't act like a bride and you don't act like he's your husband and you run from him and you die that way, it leads to death. Now verse 3, Hosea 2:3. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. She continues this sin all the way to death and does not return, I'm going to kill her. Verse 4. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. All the fruit she's producing is not from me. We're going to go plant a church and get a bunch of people in with the basketball team, but we'll change our gospel a little bit. We'll tone it down so we can get more people in there, and then we'll teach them later. The Lord's going to not bless that fruit. He ain't going to hear them children. They're not from him. Verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. We always think grass is greener on the other side, don't we? I do. Our bellies are filled. Having a fun time. There's more entertainment. More productivity, it seems. But it's all mine. My wine, my flax, my oil, my doing. In my head, it's a wonderful time. We run and run, thinking what we're doing is just wonderful. But if we're the bride of Christ, we will not be left to ourselves. It won't be that sin unto death. It's going to be a returning. Verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Because Gomer is the bride of Hosea, he is going to hedge up her ways about her, and he's going to drive her back to himself. The child of God that runs off. The Lord's going to hedge up their way, shut down everything around them, and drive them back to himself. Verse 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. This whole time that Gomer thought she was being fed and took care of and doing it herself, she thought it was her lovers doing this. It was not those lovers. It was not herself doing it. It was her husband, Hosea, one she had abandoned. Now, in spite of all the shame that this bride has brought, in spite of all the ignorance this bride had and all of her dishonoring and despising of Hosea, he looked after her. He hedged her about and he provided for the bride that the Lord gave him. He made that bride his responsibility. He said, you're going to provide for her and you're going to love her. Hosea provided for her and loved her the whole time. Hosea goes on to say there that he's going to stop making it easy on Gomer. He's going to take away everything that he's been providing for her and make her see her lewdness, her sin. He's going to make her understand what she's done. And in verse 14, Hosea 2:14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I'm going to give her a good whooping. I know what it says, is it? And speak comfortably to her. Joseph had his brothers come up there. He didn't backhand them. He spoke comfortably to them. That father, a prodigal son, come back. He said, give him a ring. Take my jacket, put it on him. Oh, he's home. He didn't whip him. Hosea is going to draw Gomer back to himself through many means. And he's going to speak peace to her. Lord's child hears him. A new spirit's put in him and they depart. They're going to be drawn back by who knows what means. Lord does. And he's going to speak peace to their hearts. Verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. This is the purpose and the providence that our Savior set forth. This is salvation declared. He was married to his bride before creation. We ran as fast as we could to our heart's desire, to our own lusts. And he provided the whole time. Unbeknownst to us, we thought we'd take care of ourselves. Oh, I'm doing good things. Getting along just fine. Everything's great. And when the time's right, in his time, he will draw us off to ourselves alone in the wilderness, coming into our heart, just us and him, no public show, and he's going to speak peace to our hearts. And all of this is going to be performed in full righteousness. All judgment will be fulfilled. It'll be in loving kindness. This ain't just simple obligation of Hosea. This isn't a simple obligation of our Savior. Well, this is the job I got to do. I got to do it. Try to do a good job at it. It's going to be out of love. And we will know that all this is done in mercy. I didn't deserve this. I deserve punishment. He didn't punish me. We will then be fully betrothed. We'll be fully married, fully committed to Christ and His faithfulness, and we will know the Lord, be reconciled to God. But we're going to be brought down first. We're not going to come back with our noses still in the air, come back with a haughty spirit. We're going to be brought down before we're brought home. Gomer was. From the doing of Hosea, from his adding here and taking away there, him hedging her about, she got herself in an awful mess. All by her hand. She can't blame Hosea on that. Well, you hedged me about. Oh, it's your doing. That's us. Can't blame the Lord for the situation I'm in. I did it to myself. And she ended up on the slave block to be auctioned off. Remember there in Romans 9:25, and says, and he said, saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. That's salvation declared. Nothing's happened yet. Hosea's telling you what he's going to do. Christ declared this before the earth was, what he's going to do. And boy, we don't look like we deserve mercy, do we? Don't look like we ought to be gracious, have somebody be gracious to us. We ended up on a slave block. Sold ourselves because we couldn't afford anything else. When Gomer was as low as she could get, when you and I are brought as low as we can get, destitute, and we're under the law, when she said, I'll be sold, well, the handcuffs go on. Ain't changing now. You're under it. No way to buy ourselves out from it, from underneath it. All at the full mercy of whoever will redeem us. I'm up for sale. And in chapter 3, verse 1. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet. The Lord spoke to Hosea and he said, you go back to her. Go again. Love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Go again, a woman loved by her husband, but not loving him. You love her. Still at enmity, still at sin. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Each child of God is loved the same way. Every one of us. We chase after the drunkenness of religion, of our self-pride. We look to other gods, other gospels, trying to soothe our own souls, rejecting our husband, but the husband loves the bride. Even us. Not only Jews, but also of the Gentiles. It says, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Do I call myself Gomer? I can't be one of your people. Lord, look at me. Look inside of my heart, what I think, what I feel, what I go chasing. I say with Paul, I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I'm on that auction block, naked. I have no means of saving myself. I'm Gomer, destitute. And I got myself here. It's by my hand and no other. I deserve to be here. I'm helpless in myself. But God. But Christ. Loved His bride the whole time that we did not love Him. He was committed to His bride the whole time that we weren't committed to Him. He hedged us about while we were oblivious to it. And when He had ordained us to be brought low, He purchased us, took us to Himself alone, and spoke peace in our hearts. He planned it. He declared, this is how salvation is going to be, and then He executed it. It come to pass. Look here in verse 2. Hosea 3:2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me, abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Salvation was ordained in a people that were not His people. We were our own man. I always heard that growing up. Gotta be your own man. Well, look where that got us. We were loved when we did not love Him. And in His time, He brought us to know we could do nothing of ourselves. He put us naked on auction block. And then He bought us. And we gladly and willingly serve Him many days for eternity. Now this auction block that Gomer was on, there was a transaction that took place. Here she stood waiting to be bought. Somebody could redeem her, whoever was able and willing. And a purchase happened. It was a transfer of ownership. Hosea bought her. Now let's look back to Romans chapter 9. We saw salvation declared, salvation is going to be fulfilled. Romans 9 and verse 26. And it shall come to pass. This people wasn't beloved. Wasn't a people. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There, at that place, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Gomer stood on that slave block, and it was known by anyone looking on, she is no one's people. Nobody owns her. But from that same auction block, when Hosea purchased her with silver and barley, she became his family. That same place, there, she became his purchased possession, his bride, one that he could bestow his love on. Now in that place, there in our text, in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. What is this place for us, Gomers? Now, in this story of declaration of love of Hosea to Gomer, we see that, the auction block. What's my auction block? If you're his, what's your auction block? An unfaithful bride standing up there. For us, it's the cross of Calvary. On that hill, Christ our substitute hung in the place of his undeserving bride. And owning our sin in his body on a tree, God the Father said, you are not my people. It makes me think. He became me. God the Father looked on the sin that I am and said, you are not my people. Get away from me. Turned his back on him. Full wrath of judgment for our sin was unleashed on him. He was forsaken of God. And there, at that same place, on that hill, on that cross, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Christ being made a curse for his people, we were called the children of the living God. That's what it took to save a people. What's involved in salvation? Absolutely everything. God had to send himself, make himself a lamb, became me, went on that block, naked, bore all of my sin and shame. And at the same time, there, in that place, I became a child of God. I was given his righteousness. You hear that message, do you say, why not me? I ought to be able to do that. I deserve to have him die for me. No. Say if your sin's being revealed to you, you see the death that you deserved on that auction block under the holy law of God. But you were purchased. And in that place, Christ was declared us, sin. And his bride was declared the children of God, righteousness, holy. Let's turn over to Isaiah 54 and I'll wrap this up. Isaiah 54. Are you humbled? As the Lord showed you what you were, as he hedged you about, as he took all his corn and oil that he was giving this whole time from you, and made you see, I can't do nothing but sell myself into slavery. Has he humbled you to the point where you say, why me? Why would he save me? And if you're in that position, why would the Lord go through all this to save me? Are you afraid? Are you scared that this is just too good to be true? This couldn't be for me. I'm too bad off. Are you afraid? Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. All that running around, all that forsaken, all that, it's gone as far as the east is from the west. There'll come a day when we won't remember this sin because we'll have no sin in us. Verse 5. For thy maker, capital N, thy maker is thine husband. That's who loved us. That's who we were betrothed to. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Is the Lord going to call you when you feel good about yourself? You can be happy. Oh, man, let's clap and go get in a kiddie pool. No. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. That's when it'll come to us. And a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. You want to run out in the street? Go ahead. But great mercies I'm going to gather you up. Bring you to me. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. That's our husband. That's my Hosea. I'm Gomer. It's unbelievable. Such a low, worthless, rebellious heathen that I am. And the Lord went out of his way. I'm going to do everything for you. You know, whenever you don't think I am. And then I'm going to head you about, bring you right to my feet, and I'll be your husband and redeemer and Lord forever. Forever. If a person truly knows, they're gone. If you're brought down, you're humbled, you're naked on an auction block, and you say, Lord, why me? Why would you do this? That's when he'll come to you. He'll speak peace into your heart that only he can give. Fear not, I'm with thee. You're mine. And he'll be ours. We're his. He's ours. Whew, that's something. Let's pray together.